Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome to Showing Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. This week, we're not in a county, we're in a kingdom. The kingdom of Callaway County. First organized November 25th, 1820. The 26th county organized, 847 square miles of the Kingdom of Callaway. I guess it was a county before it was a kingdom, but I don't think they're going to change the name now. And we're joined by Gary Youngerman, the presiding commissioner. Commissioner, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
A person whose name won't be a stranger to anybody listening to this, Travis Fitzwater, the representative from here. Thank you for joining us, Representative.
Glad to be here.
Joe Holt, historian, lawyer, former judge. Judge, thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
And Rob Krause, he's a media here with Westminster University and has helped us have this beautiful place we're coming to you from. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we are here in the world famous, truly internationally famous, Winston Churchill Museum in Fulton, Missouri, where he gave his very famous Iron Curtain speech. We're going to get that in our second segment. But let's start off talking about how Callaway County got its name. It was named for James Callaway, Daniel Boone's grandson, veteran of the War of 1812. He was killed in a battle with Native Americans here around 1815. The Indians, Mr. Holt, tell me that the Missouri Indians were here, the Iowa, the Sac. Any other Indian tribes around here?
I can't tell Delaware. You the tribes. The Indians had occupied the area for 1,000 years probably before the settlers from the European countries came over.
Now, you were nice enough to bring a book, and I've asked a couple people in Jeff City, and I couldn't get the straight answer. The first settlement was written down here around 1808 with some French settlers, the first permanent European settlement. Now, how do you say the name of it?
Coach Sanderson is how I say it. Not everybody says it that way, I'd have to admit.
Commissioner, if you go to Coach Sanderson, does somebody else not know where you're going, or they not say it that way?
You know, it's a difficult place to find now, but it's down in the river bottoms around Tebbets down there. So I refer to it as Coach Sanderson, but there's many different ways to say it.
Representative, you're going to break the tie.
I think Joe's got a lot of history here. I respect Gary greatly, but I'll probably go with Joe.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with Joe.
Mr. Krause, you going to weigh in on how you say it?
No, I wouldn't even venture a guess.
We'll go Coach Sanderson then, the first settlement here by Europeans. As time went on, Daniel Boone crossed Callaway County around 1808 as well, on his way to Fort Osage. Actually, Coach Sanderson was discussed as a place to have the first state capital at a time before they selected Jefferson City. I think they couldn't get the deed maybe to Coach Sanderson. They probably could Jefferson City, so it was available and they took it. The first permanent settlers, there's a couple people mentioned, but now there was a Reverend John Hamm, a Methodist minister, is one of the first permanent European settlers that came here that kept records. Then the county seat was at Hamm's Prairie. Now, where would Hamm's Prairie be? It's 6 miles south of Fulton?
South and east.
South and east of Fulton. Yeah.
Elizabeth was what it was called when it became the first county
seat. Gotcha.
Now, Hamm's Prairie, and there's a good deal of discussion as to exactly where Elizabeth and the courthouse was. It's not where Hamm's Prairie is today, I'll tell you that.
Now, that's interesting. There's been people shot and killed in Missouri over where they put them county seats. How moving a county seat's a big deal. I think there was an arson up in Randolph County once about where the county seat was going to be. How did they move the county seat to Fulton?
There was a clear understanding that Elizabeth was not centrally located. And so there was a commission to establish a new county seat, and they tried to find the more central location within the county and came up to the banks of the Stinson Creek where Fulton is now located.
So it talks here, it goes through different incarnations about how Fulton was platted and settled as the county seat. But I always like to ask folks when we do this, like Mr. Old, how did your family come to live here in Callaway County?
We came 200 years ago this year from Tennessee.
There ain't nobody going to top that. Matter of fact, no one's ever topped that in the history of the show.
Well, I don't know about that. We weren't the first ones here, but my family came into the colonies in 1640s, way back, ended up on the south side of Virginia, and my great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, ultimately moved into Tennessee and stayed there about 15 years and then came up here in 1819. How did he get here? That's a heck of a good question. He could have come partially by barge. I suspect he did. Some overland, but he landed on the south side of the county, and his planning to get here was not real good. It was about winter time.
Well, I guess he made it through, though, right?
Oh, they went on. They took the kids, the little ones, and the women to Franklin, up near Boonville, the town of Old Franklin. And they stayed there, and he and the older, bigger boys came back and started hacking out a place to live. They made it.
Mr. Krause, how'd you end up here in Callaway County?
Well, I just work here, actually. Sure. I'm not a Calwegian.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from Mound City, Missouri, up in Holt County.
That is, yeah.
But I've lived in Jefferson City, Missouri, ever since I came to work in state government, which was my first job in state government sometime in 87.
Well, Representative, speaking of state government, how did your family come live in Callaway County?
Well, I'm an adoptive Calawegian, but it's kind of a sensitive thing to call yourself a Calawegian because unless you were born and raised, and not born like in Columbia at the hospital, but like born in Callaway County, there's some people that have real consternation with saying you're a Calawegian if you weren't born and raised.
Actually, it's conception. Where were you conceived?
you're a newcomer.
Yeah. Get serious. I'm very new comparatively. My parents moved to Missouri to Jefferson City in 2002, and I followed them in 2006. My wife and I got married and moved to Holt Summit in 2007. So we've been there 12 years.
Don't you think though that's there's not a lot of state rep districts that say theirs are growing. When they redraw the maps, yours will shrink, I guess. And there's been a lot of growth, and that's a good thing. That's not a lot of counties we go to can talk about the growth and people coming. Your Callaway County is a county that is growing.
Yeah, it's unique. Fulton is a really neat town. I think the last couple of years it's been voted as one of the neatest place to visit, and part of that is the Churchill Museum and what they do here and the history here. But also Holt Summit's growing a lot. It's kind of everybody calls it a bedroom community to Jeff City, but there's a lot of state government workers that live in Holt Summit. They want to live across the river. They want to be maybe a little bit more land, or they want to be closer to town. It's sometimes when you live in Holt Summit, it's easier to get downtown, even though you're maybe miles further away, all the lights and everything. It's easier to get into Jeff City from Holt Summit sometimes.
And so when the streets flood, it's almost assuredly, you know.
There's only one way in and out when the streets flood.
Commissioner, how'd your family come live here in Callaway County?
Well, I'm kind of an implant, too. My parents, we moved up here when I was very young, but 1970, basically, is when I came to Callaway County. Been here ever since. But I was young enough when I came here that, you know, Callaway County's been my home. I mean, that's where home is for me, because I was about the fourth grade, I think, when we moved here, So my family doesn't have a lot of history here, but like I said, this is home for me, and it always will be.
That's great, Commissioner. I'll go back. You might know this one, but I can't imagine how you would. First County Court was February 12th, 1821. Benjamin Young and Stephen Doris were people that were put. The third one couldn't make it that day. And they began to talk about where they would put a courthouse. They ended up moving it in 1825 to Fulton, and they named the town after Robert Fulton. Now, it's an interesting thing. The inventor of the first successful steamboat, which must have meant there were some other steamboats that didn't work, and his worked. I always thought Fulton was an odd choice for the inventor of the steamboat, because I don't know where you drive a steamboat to Fulton, right?
No, you wouldn't.
So the first courthouse they built in 1827, this is the neatest thing about doing this. It's like last week we talked about the Slicker War, which was the Hatfields and McCoys of Benton County shooting each other. In 1827, they built the first courthouse for $1,400 by J.S. Ferguson. Most of that was taken from a bond forfeiture from a horse thief. There was Hiram Bryant was accused of stealing horses, and he put up his bond, and he went back south and left town, and they took a lot of that money and was able to apply that to the courthouse. Now, that's conservative. I don't care who you are. Now, is that the story that they say here?
That's correct. That's the story I've heard for years.
Well, yeah. That's good money management. Yeah. You can't beat that. Yeah. Now, there is
the guy left. I mean, he just left his money here.
Might as well use it. It's good use.
Probably did take that horse then, right? If you left the money. So
more than likely.
Now, they built the courthouse in 1827. Then they built another one in the 1850s. It is one of the most beautiful courthouses in the state. It survived the Civil War somehow. Very few did. And am I correct, it's still the courthouse in use today?
No.
Walk me through the history of the courthouse that they built from around the 1850s.
It was remodeled significantly by General Bell, a famed local architect, somewhere in the 1880s. By 1925, 1920s, they began to decide it was not appropriate for the court. It was getting too small, very frankly, from everything I heard. So in 1938, there's WPA money, federal money to match local dollars to build public facilities. And so the county voted to tear the old courthouse down and build a new one with the help of the federal government. So the one that's here now was dedicated in 1939, and has stood since then, and now it's too small.
hard to have them big enough anymore as the county grows, right? It's a interesting thing. Let's talk about the Civil War and how this went from Callaway County to the Kingdom of Callaway. Callaway County, Governor Nixon, when he was on the show, he told me, he said, you know, it's interesting how whoever wins the war, the people that live in the county, they seem to remember themselves as part of the winning side. Was Callaway County a Union county or a Confederate county?
Confederate.
It said the records, it's hard to trust them all, but there was about 1,000 Confederate soldiers recruited from Callaway County and a little over 300 Union soldiers.
That sounds right.
Now, the interesting part was how there was two stories, obviously how the county changed and got its reputation, but the first battalion pulled was a Confederate battalion from a Westminster student. The Daniel McIntyre was a senior, and he raised an army or a battalion and went and joined the Confederate Army, and he took five students with him, and they even gave him his degree at the end of the term, because even though he left early because he was off serving. I thought that's kind of an interesting thing. The folks here at Westminster decided to grant him his degree. Now, I tend to think, Mr. Holt, you could probably tell this story better than I can. Tell me the story about how Callaway became a kingdom.
The later part of 61, Union armies in the eastern part of Missouri, led by General Henderson, had begun to move toward Callaway County with the avowed purpose of establishing federal control over Callaway, which was clearly not controlled at that point in time. Pretty wild secessionist area. And Colonel Jones, Jefferson Jones, who had been a lawyer in Fulton for many, many years, state representative, a couple of terms, gathered together he had a great following of people. He gathered together a large number of people, young men, older people, a lot of the middle-aged and adult males were already gone off somewhere to battle. But this is October, and the initial enlistment period for the Confederacy was 6 months. They'd started in April, and this is October, they're coming home. So there were some pretty good, well-known soldiers in that group as well. They formed a grouping up in the north part of the county at a place called Brown Springs, trained for a while, and then moved to the east to fight off the invading federal forces. They painted some logs black.
Now, these were well-trained federal forces too. These were not amateur soldiers.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. This was a regular army, federal regular army, and these young people and older people painted some logs to make them look like guns. They implanted them so that it looked like they had a few field artillery pieces. And so Jones then sent his aide, a fellow by the name of Harris, to meet with Jefferson, or with Henderson, and said, you know, we'll strike a deal. We won't invade the Union if you won't invade Callaway. We just want to stay here. We're not interested in doing anything more. They made a deal. Henderson backed off with his army. Jones told his people to go on home. And they did.
They put the guns on the fire.
It was the smartest thing they could have done because they were going to get killed if they went forward. But the celebration began right after that, that we'd established by golly, boys, we've got us a kingdom here. That's a pretty good story. That's part of it. That's how it happened.
But it didn't completely keep the war out of Cowley, right?
It didn't last more than about a week and a half. Some Union troops came in from the south that had not been aware of the compromise that Henderson had made with Jones, and they occupied Fulton for the rest of the war.
There was a couple battles. Moore's Hill, July 28, 1862. It looked pretty indecisive, right?
Moore's Mill.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't establish too much. It was a mean skirmish. A lot of people were killed in it, but it didn't really establish much of anything. The Unions at that point, led by Odin Guitar and a pretty good-sized bunch of Union soldiers, after that battle, the Southern troops dissolved into the woods. They weren't there after the battle ended that one-day battle.
Overton Run was pretty much an ambush, right?
Overton Run was a laughter, I think, for the most part. Unfortunately, one guy got killed in it. Nobody really knows for sure what happened. A group of Confederates were going to ambush some Union soldiers marching up on the main road from Jefferson City. They took one shot, and the Unions ran. They took one shot back at the Confederates, and they ran, so everybody ran away. Overton's Run was really everybody running away from wherever the battle was, I think.
Now, Commissioner, I've heard the Kingdom of Cowley my whole life. It may have only been a week and a half, but it must have been a glorious week and a half, right? People still hang on to that to this day, correct?
People still hang on to that, and, you know, it's, I mean, we had our own flag, you know, and so it's something that's cherished by a lot of, especially the older generations, and the representative was correct a while ago. I mean, there's always this conversation, friendly conversations about, are you a true Calowegian? You know, because Joe hit it on the head. You know, the rules change sometimes because at one time it was just if you were born in Callaway County, but then now it's got to the point where you conceived in Callaway County. Yeah. So, you know, it's really fun to deal with, and it causes a lot of good conversation.
Well, and there's the annual Kingdom of Callaway dinner.
Exactly.
Now that's the kind of things I've heard about my whole life and seen, and that's fun. There's a couple of politicians that were always pretty high in Missouri state government. There was Senator George Smith in 1864 and Senator Nick Cave in 1927. That's interesting. If you took office in 64, the war was about over. It might have been a good time to serve. And if you were in the Missouri State Senate in 27 and you ran it in 28 and 29 before the crash, that's probably the last good year to. Last good year to manage a budget. So fortuitous times to be a pro tem, the Senate pro tem from Callaway County. Right.
Nick Cave went on to be a judge on the Missouri Court of Appeals in Kansas City after that. Spent some time on that bench. His son was a circuit judge here for many, many years.
Is that right? Representative, I think you can attest that it matters who's in those positions and who serves in those positions. And I guess we have one person who might be a senator someday himself is at the table, possibly, right?
Yeah, I hear Joe's going to run for that.
Yeah, a lot of support building. Yeah. Now, what you're hearing behind me, I'll tell you, we are in the Clementine Spencer Churchill Library, and in that is a tremendous clock that dings every half hour. I doubt we'll get to hear it again, but what you just heard was that clock reminding us it's about time for a break. So we're going to thank our sponsors, the Missouri Association of Electric Cooperatives, Missouri Association of Counties, and the Missouri Farm Bureau for letting us come and talk about the history of the state in places like Callaway County. We'll be right back.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for road trips. We're for covering as much ground as possible on 2, 4, or 18 wheels. We're for drop tops, T-tops, classics, cruisers, pickup trucks, and dump trucks. We're for displaying Missouri plates like medals of pride. Have you ever hit a deer? Yep, we're for you too. We're for getting stuck behind a tractor on a two-lane highway. And if you're a Missouri driver, we have an auto policy for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Head by your County Farm Bureau office today to pick up Super Saver coupons for discounts at the Missouri State Fair, August 8th through 18th in Sedalia. Visit the Missouri Farm Bureau building to get ice-cold 25-cent milk and find out how Farm Bureau advocates for farmers, the rural way of life, and all Missourians. Learn about how pollinators help our crops grow, and enter to win a brand new John Deere riding lawnmower. So get your coupons at your County Farm Bureau office while they last.
Welcome back to Showing Missouri, the history of Missouri one county at a time. We're not in a county this week. We're in the Kingdom of Callaway. We're joined by the presiding commissioner, Gary Youngerman. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Travis Fitchwater, thank you for sticking around.
Yeah, glad to be here.
I'm going to promote you to the, I think you might be the unofficial historian of Callaway County. Mr. Joe Holt, thank you for staying with us.
Glad to be here.
And Rob Krause, he works in the media parts here at Westminster, the college, and we are in the internationally famous Churchill Memorial. We're in the Clementine Spencer Churchill Library. Getting to bring you Show Missouri from one of the most historic places, not only in Missouri, but the world. Mr. Krause, if you're in Missouri, you might think of Jorgen Schlemmer here, Fulton. You might think of Travis Fitzwater here, Callaway County. But there's no question that if you're anywhere in the world, in the country, outside of the United States for sure, and you hear Fulton, Missouri, or Westminster College, you think of the Iron Curtain speech by Winston Churchill, which is the precipice of this museum. Tell us how that speech came to be, and when they're putting that together. You have to assume President Truman had a lot to do with it, but tell us the story.
Well, President Truman did have a lot to do with it, along with Harry Vaughan, who was chief aide to President Truman and a Westminster graduate.
There you go.
Who is actually the Westminster connection out of all of this. Winston Churchill had been thrown out of office as prime minister, and he was looking for some way to get back on the world stage again. So the timing was absolutely perfect. And so they had come up, Bullitt McClure and Vaughan and them came up with the idea. Bullitt McClure was president of Westminster at the time, to come up with inviting Churchill to speak here. And Harry Truman wrote a little handwritten note which sealed the deal. At the bottom of the invitation, this is a great school in my home state. I'll introduce you if you'll come speak. And so that kind of sealed the deal for Churchill to come here. The thing that I find interesting is that, I mean, it's become known as probably the most famous speech of the 20th century. But at the time when it was delivered, a lot of people didn't think much of it because Russia was our ally. And as we know, Churchill turned out to be very, very prophetic.
Yeah, he had a knack of that, didn't he?
With the Iron Curtain. And people who come here to visit at the college, a lot of them, of course, they enjoy all the treasures of the National Churchill Museum, but actually being able to walk into the historic gym, which is a national historic site, left much as it was when Churchill spoke there. And that's where he delivered the speech. And a lot of people find it really inspiring to walk into that gym and know they're standing there where in 1946 Winston Churchill delivered that famous Iron Curtain speech.
Representative, that's got to be a point of pride for people who live here in Fulton, Callaway County. I mean, to have such an international landmark. And the way the community in Westminster has preserved that's got to be a point of pride for everybody that lives here.
It's pretty awesome. You know, just a couple weeks ago, they celebrated the 50th year anniversary of the church that's atop the museum, coming over and being rebuilt.
And tell the story of that. This church, this isn't a church that was from Callaway County.
No, it was from the UK. I mean, it was bombed. The area around it was bombed. When they were rebuilding, they didn't have the funds to remake that church, to take care of it. So it sat there for many, many decades, about a decade, a little over a decade, it sat there. And then they Westminster came up with this idea, we want to have a landmark to really show what Churchill meant to us by coming here and giving that prophetic speech. And they came up with the idea of bringing this church over brick by brick. They numbered the bricks, they brought it back over here, rebuilt it here in Fulton, right atop this museum.
I read once that little snafu when they was bringing them over. They labeled all the bricks and where they went. And then somehow in the flight or something, the ink rubbed off, or somehow they got all these bricks backward. Right. They had to lay it out all across the lawn to see which one would go where, right?
There are photos of that, and they refer to it as the biggest jigsaw puzzle in the world. But what a lot of people don't know is that the church, the original church, was a 12th century church, that was destroyed by the London Fire, and then Christopher Wren rebuilt it in 1677. So, and there's one portion, the steps going into the belfry, that are from that original 12th century church.
Wow.
But anyway, then he had the idea of redoing the church and bringing it back to the glory that you see now. And the actual idea to bring it over here came, President Davison was reading a Life magazine article that showed photos of London churches that had been destroyed in the war. And that inspired the idea that this would be great to bring that over stone by stone, which is an unbelievable miracle, and then restore it here on campus.
You talk about being allies. It's interesting. I thought the museum preserves it well. Churchill was no fan of fascism, but he hated communism far more until he had to not for a while and keep that quiet while they were the allies. But it seemed like attacking communism came very natural to him.
Right, right. And I will tell you, one of the days that I, and Joe was probably here that day. Another incident. One of the days that I wish I had worked here was when Mikhail Gorbachev came to deliver the speech. They actually had him walk through the breakthrough Berlin Wall section that's out here as a symbol of the fact that the Cold War was over. And
there's some other world leaders that have came here to commemorate that speech.
What an inspiring, well, I mean, there's a long list of people. I mean, there are presidents, Harry Truman, George Bush when he was vice president. Reagan, of course, was here and dedicated this breakthrough sculpture that's out here, which we might also mention. It's an interesting story. Churchill's granddaughter, Edwina Sands, came up with the idea of when the Berlin Wall fell to do a sculpture of this breakthrough of putting human forms through the wall of people breaking through the wall. And she went to Germany, and these panels of the broken down wall were going for like millions of dollars. She talked them into giving her eight panels to do this, and then brought them over to New York, did the sculpture, came here to Westminster. It is actually the longest contiguous section of the Berlin Wall in North America. We got into a little thing with the museum. They had, they were saying they had the largest panel, but theirs were individual panels. So we changed our narrative to say it's the longest contiguous panels.
So Fulton's still up, is what you're saying?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. We are. We had to train the museum that they weren't first in Berlin Wall pieces.
You know, and Ronald Reagan too. The neat thing about Ronald Reagan is there's a book written by a Fulton author. It's called King's Row, that many people may not know about now. But Ronald Reagan played in the movie adaptation of that book. He played the main character. And he's got his outfits here, right? He had one of the outfits from that movie is in the museum.
It's in the museum downtown. The historical museum downtown is his suit from King's Row. And incidentally, another trivia, he starred in that movie with Bob Cummings. And Bob Cummings came, the actor Bob Cummings, came with him that day Fulton for the speech.
Tell me, another thing I think everybody in the state would think about when they think of Callaway County's power. Obviously, the plant's here. Tell us about that plant and what it means to the county.
Yeah, the Callaway Nuclear Plant, you know, it means a lot. It has, it just varies on how much it means. It's offered a lot of job opportunity that wouldn't have happened probably without it. I think it probably, I know, not probably, it saved a school district here in this county. The South Callaway schools down there, they were really struggling years ago. And Union Electric back in the day, that's what it was. You know, they decided to come up and buy property to build that plant, and which is now known as Ameren, Missouri. So it has been, there's many a family that have enjoyed a good income over there, a good place to work, and generation after generation actually has now worked there, and it's been great. Not only, like I said, and they're a great partner here in Callaway County. They do a lot for this county, and more than just offering jobs. I mean, they're a great partner.
I don't think you find a place that says Amherst not a good corporate citizen.
Yeah, they've done some wonderful things. They donate and help with the street fair every year, which is the old Kingdom Days event now. They're a wonderful partner to have here in the county.
So is the whole county on Ameren, or where's the co-op come in at? Or?
It's funny that Ameren, there's not as much Ameren in this county as you, as far as power. You know, the Callaway Co-op has most of the county, but there are a few places. I know New Bloomfield, Holt Summit, they're on Ameren, and there's a couple other small areas, I believe, but those are probably the two largest areas that are Ameren, but the biggest majority of the county is with the co-op, so... Ameren doesn't have a lot of power.
It's amazing. You'd be driving through, you know, back road, what feels like a back road, and you see this enormous thing that fills up your whole windshield, that power plant, you come around the corner. It said one of the first railroads came in to haul coal from, and I'm a butcher, Coat and Sands. Coat Sanderson. But I think transportation, if you come to Jefferson City, which most people do at least once or twice through their life, some folks more, you're going to come through I-70, everyone knows, then you come down 54. Callaway County sets at a really interesting cross-section of the state.
It does. Really at the crossroads of the state, because the north-south road primary roads are either 63 or 54. Both go through Callaway, 63 not as much, 54 the whole distance, and I-70 is the premier cross between Kansas City and St. Louis. So. The interesting thing to the historians, as me, the I-70 kind of generally follows, you mentioned earlier, the 1808 trip of Daniel Boone across the state in the Boone's Lick Trail that he made then to get to the salt mines of western Howard County. So we're just following the historical routes that people were using to get across the country.
Just since I've been coming from St. Louis over and down, I used to come up the other way from the Boot Hill, but now they come over that way. I've seen just Kingdom City's added probably two hotels just in the last couple of years. And there's if you can't get gas in Kingdom City, it's probably on you at this point. I mean, there's gas stations everywhere. You know? Which has to be good on the bottom line for the county, I assume.
It is. You know, Kingdom City is a town, like you said, that has grown with hotels and motels and gas stations. And actually, you know, we talk about growth, and Joe mentioned the courthouse, and once again, it's getting a little small. But if you're in Callaway County and at that crossroads of this country on a evening or a weekend, Sunday afternoons especially, I mean, it is absolutely crazy the amount of traffic that is coming up and down 54 and down 70. I mean, it's not something you really want to be involved in the middle of when that traffic's that bad, but there's a lot of traffic goes through that intersection.
Boy, those trucks are backed up in that exit when you turn to go south. And all that's, I guess, just found money for a county, right?
You know, that's a good stopping point, I think, for a lot of people, and it continues and will probably always be, because it is it's a good place before, if you're headed west, before you get to Columbia and you don't want to pull off in a busier area, because it's an easy on, easy off access point.
The first teacher that actually made the rounds, wasn't a permanent school, was Theodoric Bulwer back around 1815. I was a Methodist missionary / teacher. Tell us about the schools in the county now.
We have great schools. I think South Callaway, we mentioned that with Ameren. Ameren's just been a cog for our economy in Callaway County and has spurred them on in significant ways. They're certainly a shining light in the county. Fulton does a really, really good job too, because there's a lot of diversity in Fulton. And it's encouraging that they can handle it so well. They've had some transition with their administration underneath the superintendent. The superintendent's been here for a while, but they've had some changes in the principals across the school district. So they do a great job. The New Bloomfield is interesting because it's got this really small school district, you know, smashed between Fulton and Jeff City. And they do a great job educating the amount of kids. That's just a farming community. You know, there's not a big economy there. There's a golf course, and there's a Dollar General, and then there's farmland. You know, so they do a great job there too. And then Jeff City is just unique. They handle you know, they're in Holt Summit. Holt Summit is in the Jeff City School District, and so you have this dynamic of the bedroom community not feeling like their voice is heard, and Jeff City kind of doing what they want. Now listen to Holt Summit, and it's just, it's an interesting dynamic in education. And then you have a lot of private schools, Catholic schools, obviously a big deal in Mid-Missouri and across the state. You know, the German populations that came over, and you have Christian schools. You have all kinds of it's a very diverse educational opportunity in Callaway County.
Two of the best colleges in the state,
yeah.
Right here. We're sitting in one of them, Westminster, and then William Woods University on the north side of town. Both of them been here a long time.
Tell me what Westminster means to Fulton area and Callaway County.
Oh, my gosh, Rob, that's something you could answer. But I can tell you, I'm a graduate of Westminster. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't have been able to go to college if Westminster hadn't been here. And so I picked up the political science degree and went right on into the university for law school. And what I learned here was tremendous. It got a commission in the Army to boot. So I'm getting paid when I'm going to law school because I'm still in the military. It means a lot to the local communities, yeah. And has attracted outsiders to Fulton that then decided, hey, this is a pretty good place to live. We're going to settle back here when we get through college. So it's been a tremendous asset.
Representative, you've got to see people all the time that you meet that have spent time here at the college in your district. That you meet in Jeff City from all walks of life have crammed through Westminster.
Yeah, they're graduates from both William Woods, Westminster. It's the amount of students that go to Westminster and William Woods and they live here. I think it speaks to the community. My wife and I have made Callaway County home because the people have been amazing. You know, even though we joke about being a Callawegian, if you're a Callawegian or not, but I've never felt more, and we've moved all over the country my entire life, I've never felt more welcome than I have in Callaway County. And so I think that vibe keeps a lot of our kids here. They keep them because we have the education, we have the opportunities, we have the infrastructure to give kids an opportunity to stay here, get decent jobs, and the cost of living is tremendous, you know, so you're not, you may get a really good job here, and you can live on so much less than you would in a city area. And the rural lifestyle. My wife and I like being close to towns. We like being close to Jeff City and Fulton, and but we also like not being near towns. So it's nice to have, it's just a beautiful county. The people are tremendous, and that's what's meant the most to us when we became residents ourselves, was the amount of love that we felt from Callaway County meant the world to us.
Commissioner, the paper started in late 1830s. It was called the Banner of Liberty and changed to the Telegraph. Tell me about the paper here in town now.
You know, the paper, the Fulton Sun, I mean, the Fulton Sun's had its ups and downs, that's for sure. And in today's technology world, the newspaper is a little tough to try to do. But the paper has been a big part of Callaway County over the years, there's no doubt, and still are a big part because they've had to kind of graduate into technology theirself a little bit with online stuff so that people can just get online and look at the paper and the news. But very good to us. They come over when we have meetings, if you know, and send out, put stuff in the paper and let people know. But I wish they'd come more. I wish they'd come over and visit us more. But they're a small town paper, and the staff's not a lot of staff, so they do the best they can. But all in all, I think they do a pretty good job.
I should throw in, because I mean they do a wonderful job of covering Westminster and William Woods, but one of the things dealing with media is the fact that of a town of this size to still have a daily paper is kind of an anomaly.
It's true.
It is. I mean, that day and age has disappeared for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the small town weeklies have even gone out of business. So for them to put out a paper every day is a huge accomplishment.
Yeah, I show up to the courthouse every morning, and there's usually four or five papers rolled up in a sack on the back at the back door of the courthouse, you know, and they just drive by and throw them out. And it's kind of old-time the way of doing it, just gather the papers up when you show up to work.
Right.
Absolutely. One question I like to ask at the end of every show, but first I want to thank our sponsors one more time, the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops, Missouri Association of Counties, and the Missouri Farm Bureau. Let us come to places like Callaway County and talk about the history of this very special place, this internationally famous place in Missouri. I want to thank them. But my last question I'd like to ask, Mr. Holt, is if you had somebody come in for the day, where would you take them in Callaway County, and what would you have them know about the people that live here?
Well, first of all, I'd probably bring them right here to the memorial. This is one of the showcases of the world. There's another place down south a little bit, if you're a nature lover, the Prairie Garden Trust. Farm Henry Domke, free of charge to walk around a piece of ground, now 400, 500, 600 acres, that he is restoring to the original prairie area that it used to be, trying to get rid of the invasive grasses. And I'd tell them that these are just some of the outward symbols of what is a great county, a great place to live. And you show them around Fulton and the old houses here and the new houses, the contrast. It's all here. Everything's here. If you want it, it's here.
Mr. Krause, if somebody came in from another college, something you would show them around Callaway County, where would you take them?
Well, I certainly would bring them here as well. And I would be remiss, when you asked me about world leaders before, I would be remiss if I did not tell people that they can come see Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State, deliver a lecture September 19th on campus, just the latest in a long line of world leaders that have been here and will continue to be here.
Interesting thing, if you're a person from Holt Summit, right, and you go to college at Westminster, I think maybe you have an expectation of greatness you might not have when you have people like that come here and you see photographs of other world leaders speaking here. It might open your eyes up and maybe set your ambition a little higher.
Right. I mean, it's amazing. In my time, like John Major, the former prime minister, came here to visit the museum and landed a helicopter on the football field. You know, it's unbelievable the people that I have met doing media here that have come here. I mean, anybody who cares about democracy and the history of America and everything that is a leader wants to come here where that prophetic speech was given.
Representative, if you had somebody, if you had Don Rome came up to see you for the day, where would you take him, and what would you have him know about the people?
Well, you and I both know Don would want to see a farm.
Yeah.
But I echo this conversation on the you know, being at the Churchill Memorial, and everything here is just so meaningful history-wise. But I think also what we haven't even discussed is the food in Fulton. I don't think anybody realizes how good the food is. There's some restaurants that are second to none.
All right, now give me a couple of them.
Okay, well, Bex is just down the street on Court Street. It is a beautiful building. Gary Vaught's the owner. He's done a great job. The food is tremendous. I've never eaten anything there that's disappointed me ever. It's just a delicious food. There's Fontenot's Po' Boys. That's just, you know,
it's
southern.
Awesome.
It's very good. Jambalaya, I mean, it's delicious. And then you got a family from Brooklyn that at Brooklyn Pizza out on the corner of Court Street, and they are phenomenal. It's my favorite pizza in the whole state. I love eating there. Their pizza is tremendous, and they bring the original Brooklyn style pizza to Fulton. They're from Brooklyn. They grew up with that pizza, and they started a business, and I love eating there. So they're just all kinds of cultural advantages in Fulton. You have the colleges that are tremendous. You have schools that are really good. You have an economy that's growing. I mean, Callaway County is a great spot, and I'm very thankful to be here, and thank you for highlighting our county.
Been a pleasure to be here. Appreciate the hospitality. Commissioner, if you had somebody come up, where would you take them in the county? What would you have to know about the people that live here?
There's not enough time to take somebody around because I'm going to ditto what these guys have just said. Callaway County, I don't know what we don't really have to kind of offer a little bit other than big city living. If you're looking for that, you've come to the wrong place. But
why you would.
But, you know, we've got everything, as Joe said earlier. We've got old downtown Fulton, brick streets, one-way streets, wonderful restaurants, good people. In my opinion, an all-around good place to come. We've got everything you need with the two colleges, with the university and Westminster College. You know, it's a great place to raise your family, have a job, make a have a good living, and a good place to raise your kids. I mean, I think we just got a great environment here. We don't have a lot of big town stores and whatnot, but we have a lot of good times with just the events we put on and the times we spend together, and I think most of us enjoy that.
And a world-class car museum out on the highway.
Yes, yes.
We haven't mentioned that. I got some of the most fantastic old cars in the country out there in Fulton, Missouri.
Well, I don't think we're going to top this. We're going to have to leave a kingdom and then go back to a county next week. We'll see you on Shore Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time from Caldwell County next week. See you then.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for home sweet home. We're for condos, tutors, single wides, and studios. We're for ranches, houseboats, two stories or 20. Red cedar, bluebirds, white squirrels, black walnuts, whatever's out your back door, we're for that. We're for watching the sun rise over the Mississippi and set over the Missouri. We're for kicking off your heels in a high rise or hanging up your hat in the boot heel. And if you have a home in Missouri, we have a policy for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Head by York County Farm Bureau office today to pick up Super Saver coupons for discounts at the Missouri State Fair, August 8th through 18th in Sedalia. Visit the Missouri Farm Bureau building to get ice-cold 25-cent milk and find out how Farm Bureau advocates for farmers, rural way of life, and all Missourians. Learn about how pollinators help our crops grow and enter to win a brand new John Deere riding lawnmower. So get your coupons at your County Farm Bureau office while they last.